All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on this, the 20th day of July, 2021. I want to thank each of you for listening to this show, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. I'd also like to encourage you to send along your questions or comments, whatever they may be, to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. We also want to thank our sponsors for making the show economically viable. Our sponsors for this week, Novo Resources, El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Labrador Gold Corp., Lion One Metals, SK Mining Corp., NV Gold Corp., and Firefox Gold. I've titled today's show, The New Honest Monetary Deposits Are Yours Now. John Watson of NV Gold visits for the first time during the second segment of today's show. John Rubino joins me during the second half of the show today. And in just a moment, Michael Oliver will be with me to give us his views on what appears to be some very interesting and significant changes taking place in the market these days, but we'll hear what Michael has to say in just a moment. As our global fiat money system is obviously facing destruction and the international banking system is destined for seismic changes, monetary deposits not denominated in fiat money but in grams of gold and silver are popping up around the world. Cryptocurrencies have partly distracted investors from gold and the only currency that really has stood the test of time, but they have also distracted investors from arguably the most undervalued small-cap equity sector, gold and silver exploration stocks. Meantime, under the radar of investors, most all of whom have been programmed to think of gold as a barbaric relic, major mining companies are turning some of the strongest profits and positive cash flows in their histories. But major mining companies have a problem. They are quickly running out of ore, which is why I am so excited about a number of very successful gold and silver exploration companies, some of which are sponsors to this show. Several of them are in the enviable position of outlining large-scale precious metals deposits that are already in the sights of major mining companies. These are major companies that are going to have to replace the gold and silver resources that are rapidly being decimated and depleted. So I will be talking to John Rubino in the second half of today's show, and John Watson will be with me in the first few minutes of the next segment. He'll be with me in just a few minutes. He's with NV Gold. It's a company with several early-stage gold and silver exploration projects in Nevada. But right now I'm really happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me to provide us with some of his views on the markets. And I would note that these comments by Michael were pre-recorded yesterday at 12 o'clock noon New York time, so please keep that in mind as you review and take a look at the markets today. As always, I'd like to mention that Michael's website is olivermsa.com, olivermsa.com. You should go there to learn about Michael's service and consider signing up for it. It is one of those things that I couldn't do without, quite frankly, and I'm very pleased to welcome Michael to this microphone again. Thanks for joining me, Mike.
Hi, Jay. Good to be here.
Always good to have you with us. And you know, you've been telling us that that gold and silver share investors should really be keeping their eyes on the equity markets. I believe your view is that the next major move for gold and gold shares is likely to come when the equity markets no longer sort of give people the joy they're looking for with continuous upside movements. But if that's your view yet, Michael, let us know what your thoughts are.
Well, in our weekend report, we updated our breakage numbers on a fairly long-term timescale for S&P 500 and several of the major sectors within the stock market, excluding the leadership sector, which is best represented by NASDAQ 100 and about five of its heavily weighted symbols that we all know, Microsoft, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google. That's the leadership of the market. We've broken today all of our trigger numbers that we specified for the S&P and key sectors. These are based on, try not to confuse you here, quarterly momentum, meaning we're measuring price in its relationship to a three-quarter moving average, which is about the same as measuring versus a 200-day or 40-week average. It's a fairly long-term metric, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's not the issue of breaking through the average, but it's breaking through a recurrent structure. Mm-hmm. When you look at a momentum chart, you'll see the S&P in the first quarter of this year drop down early in the quarter, first quarter of this year, early January, to about 10 or 11%, not 10, but just above 10% over the three-quarter average, and then rallied. Okay, so when you look at the oscillator, you see this drop down to plus 10%, or actually above there, and then a rally. Then in the second quarter, we adjusted the three-quarter average up, and boom, the low that quarter was what? Oh, about just below 11%, so 10% plus over. So it stopped the same place, not in price, but on momentum, where it stopped in the first quarter. So momentum's setting up a bottom, a floor there. Okay, It did it twice. Then early this quarter, what did? We dropped down to 10.5% over, would not touch 10% over, and rally. Okay, new highs. Okay, we blew it out today. Okay, so it's three quarters in a row they've been trying not to touch 10% over. So what? Okay, well, by touching that, it's our view that probably the S&P and the broad market is going to drop down at least to that long-term moving average before it finds decent support. It might hold for a while. We don't think it'll ultimately hold. Well, where is that number? Well, in the S&P, it's down at 3880s.
Oh.
Okay, we're trading in the hot in the 42s right now. Okay?
Wow. 4200s.
Yeah. That's 10% below where we closed last week. And that's a pretty good drop. Now, that's not a disaster. It's not a panic like March of 2020 was. We think it could be an arm wrestling match. We think that's basically where we're headed. Problem. When we look at the NASDAQ 100, which is arguably the leader index in the developed market world, okay, primarily because 50% of it is comprised of those five symbols I just read off. So the leadership of the market has been very narrow. In fact, more exceptionally narrow than it's ever been in terms of what has gotten us up here, okay, in terms of weighting. In fact, those same symbols constitute about 20% of the S&P 500. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what we're looking at now is we're watching the NASDAQ 100 for its breakage. Now, we're looking at the even longer-term time scale for it, annual momentum, measuring versus a 36-month average. If the S&P goes down to its three-quarter average, it's 10% drop from where we were last Friday, it's highly likely the NASDAQ will break its annual momentum trigger levels, which is far more lethal, far longer term in implication. So we think we're probably seeing a top made in the stock market. Now, what does that mean for gold investors? Well, it removes a category that has been very popular for money to flow into. That's step one. And remember, go back through history and you'll find periods of time where it's not that the Fed has provided liquidity or not. It's where did that liquidity go?
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't always go to the stock market. It often goes to commodities or it goes somewhere else. But if you kick the shin of the stock market and cause it to break enough to where doubt comes back again, then more and more money is going to be moving into gold and related. And that's our view there. It's, in other words, the breakage in the stock market will help move more money over to gold.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who think that gold miners are correlated to the stock market, don't look at day-to-day. Look at the charts going back to 2011 or so. From 2011 through 2016 early, what did they do? They went down big time. What did the stock market do? It went up big time. So quit the correlation linkage. It's not there. In fact, it's probably inverse. So right now, I'm thinking that one of the other issues about the stock market is this. As a major asset category, we know the Fed has said before in writing, Bernanke wrote a paper on it, that defending the stock market is very important. Why? Because it maintains consumer confidence in spending. and that is good for the economy, he said, rather than saving. So, that's what we've had for the last dozen years. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of spending, a lot of debt accumulation. And if the stock market starts to break now, which has not been a negative problem for the Federal Reserve for the last 10, 12 months anyway, once it came off last year's low by the summertime, it was quite strong. So it's been not been a pain for the Fed. They haven't had to defend it. If suddenly they now have a stock market that's in doubt, begins to be perceived as in doubt by investors, asset managers, and so forth, then what's the Fed going to do? Do you think they're going to tighten?
No way.
Okay, that debate goes out the window overnight. And I think that's why it's important that if the stock market breaks down, as we define that it has begun to do now, then that asset class shift will cause the Fed to get even more worried, hence not be panicked about, quote, inflation, which they have produced for decades anyway, just gone into the stock market. They will continue that policy, if not get more, even more aggressive. What will that do to gold and gold miners? Well, you answer the question.
Yeah, I believe so. And I would like to just pass along a comment that you made on your weekly gold report. You said, and I quote, "Gold watchers have been put to sleep, which often happens before major trend changes. Rarely does such a market provide a gentleman's entry. There isn't time for committee meetings to determine asset reallocations," end of quote. Well, what do you mean by gentleman's entry? I mean, are you telling us this is one of those...
Go ahead.
The definition.
A gentleman's entry means some lazy period where you get to make it. You can have your committee meetings with your asset managers or your board of directors or whatever about where to allocate assets.
Uh-huh.
And that's when a breakout occurs, but it's slow and sluggish, and you have plenty of time to respond to
it. I see.
I'll give you an example of a thunderbolt or a chaos theory type of non-gentleman's entry.
Mm-hmm.
Silver.
Mm-hmm.
Silver was laggard to gold for 2011 through 2017 and 18 and 19. Many years it underperformed gold. Gold already began its move from a low in 2015, and by 2019 was well above that low. Silver was still lingering down there in the zone below $20.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at a silver chart, last July, first several weeks, they triggered our annual momentum on silver. It was a massive, clear ceiling was broken through on momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Within 3 weeks, silver went from our trigger level in the $19.40 zone to $10 above there in 3 weeks.
Whoa.
In other words, that's a non-gentleman's entry.
Right.
If you don't act, you miss it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now, what are we quibbling about? Well, we're quibbling about silver 25.5, 26 zone. 13 months after that surge, we're still way above those breakout levels.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people selling up here,
yeah,
but it's not collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's gone sideways.
Mm-hmm.
You might even say it's an ascending triangle. But that's what I mean by gentleman's entry. They didn't provide one. We suspect that when the perception hits that the Fed is not going to taper, and that was all delusional, that there'll be a point at which gold, if it reaches certain levels, and we specify them in our reports, reaches those levels that gold will do a launch similar to what silver did.
Hmm. Wow. Okay.
Where investors just suddenly say, I got to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'll throw it out to you. It's basically you get up much back up toward the price level where the Fed selling began.
Mm-hmm.
Gold was trading around 1860 at that time. We've got numbers on either side of that. If you see that again, and right now we're trading at 1807.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking a couple percent above us. Silver's now 2520. You know, sell-off mode, but still way in the middle of that ink of the last 13 months.
Uh-huh.
If it gets back up to about just below 28, it should do another launch.
Hmm.
So, in other words, another non-gentleman's entry.
Okay. Well, we have to be ready for those, but you're saying...
In other words, if you're not ready, you miss it. Too bad.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah. Well, we better be ready, and because, as you say, people are lulled to sleep a lot of times by these sort of boring sideways moves. Just before we leave here, and we're just about out of time, what about the gold miners? I know they're doing well fundamentally. They're making lots of money these days. GDX, I know you follow that. How is that looking on your momentum work?
Well, we also look long-term at XAU index because
uh-huh.
it's the oldest index out there. It goes back to the 1970s. So
uh-huh.
GDX only started in 2006. But Both of them look very good on long-term charts.
Mm-hmm.
What's been going on is we've had this intermediate correction, which made its low in March, by the way, then rebounded. Now we're having a secondary sell-off, or not below the March lows, just like gold is certainly not. I wouldn't be shocked if you watch gold right now. It dropped down to 1795 today. It's right now 1807. If you get much above today's intraday high, which is 1818, I suspect you're going to have seen the low in the pullback in GDX.
Hmm.
And yes, GDX and all the miners have been vastly underperforming gold for the last couple months. But in the bigger picture, if you go back and look at the 2016 low, GDX low, XAU index low, and the gold low, and do a percentage measurement of where they are even right now compared to gold, they're vastly beating gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's only in the intermediate that they've underperformed, but in the broader picture of the last 5 years, they've beaten gold.
Right.
So I expect them to continue to beat gold.
Yeah.
And any further upside.
Well, certainly keeping the broader picture in mind is very important, because we can be swayed emotionally by short-term movements that, that trigger us in and out of the markets at the wrong time, exactly at the wrong time. And that's one of the things that I've really appreciated about your work, Michael, is it's been very helpful in calming my nerves and looking at the bigger picture. So it's that's why you're so valuable and why so many people love to hear what you have to say. I really appreciate you, and thank you again for being with us, Michael. We'll look to do it again in a couple of weeks from now. All right, folks. Well, we do have to go to a break now, but don't go away, because when I come back, I'm going to be with John Watson. He'll be here to talk about NV Gold, that company's plans to explore various gold targets that they have in Nevada through the end of this year. Don't go away. We'll be right back with John Watson.
Firefox Gold is actively exploring in Finland, where recent discoveries have sparked a new gold rush. Firefox controls a major portion of a prospective gold belt, giving the company a distinct advantage for exploration and strategic partnerships. The company's strong international leadership team, combined with its Finland-based exploration specialists, will put Firefox on the crest of the coming wave of gold discoveries. Firefox Gold trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FFOX. Go to firefoxgold.com to subscribe for updates.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQB, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.